Welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, a podcast about getting local Kansas City artists on the couch to chat. Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show, we have one of our new, really good friends. Hello, Jake Walker.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the couch today.
Thank you.
We are recording on Monday. This episode will be airing this Thursday.
Cold front Monday.
Cold front like Monday to... today. Jeez. Like, I see you're in jeans today, Jake. That must mean that it's a little chilly outside, maybe.
Oh, it's laundry day.
The truth comes out every Monday is
Jeans
Day.
No longer 104 degrees outside either.
Right. I guess this past weekend was really warm in Kansas City.
Kidding? Oh yeah, you were.
I was out of town. I went on a float trip this past weekend where I was in
water
that was about 50 degrees, pretty freezing.
Yeah, I mean, like at night.
Yeah.
The air just touching you is hot.
It was terrible.
It's hot. It's awful.
Yeah, I think the heat index was 114.
I believe that.
The day on Saturday. It was rough. It was gross.
People had those memes up, you know, where it's like, welcome to the fifth gate of, like, Hell's Kitchen, you know, or something. I mean,
the sun from Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah, just beating down. We're all on the internet.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, first question is always, and it's always kind of a funny one to start with, but how the fuck did you get to the couch today? From your perspective, how did you get here today?
Well, I'm an actor in town, and I've known, at least by name, you guys for a while, but I started doing these theater talk and squawks here, and in kind of arranging those, I think that's how I got it.
Yeah, I think that it's so fun to sort of talk to someone virtually, and then all of a sudden be like, and now hello.
Yeah.
It's nice to see, you know, the person who I Facebook with about business.
And someone was, I can't remember who, Sam Cordes.
Yeah.
I was talking to him about doing this, and he was like, oh, I know that dude. How do you like, do you like that dude? And I was like, I don't know.
I've
really only, he's very polite and responsible in getting back to me on Messenger.
I went to college with Sam.
Yeah.
So that's fun. We're students, grads
it's
together.
It's remarkable every time we have somebody on here how I realize that I don't know that I've really ever officially met really anyone that we ever have on. It's just we're always in the same place, like, because you lived in my house.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So,
yeah,
and,
you're
you know,
my landlord.
Right, exactly. Like, it's,
right.
You're a resident of the G House. Who hasn't been, really?
Nick Utoff and I, this past weekend, he was on the float trip with me. We're talking about how you moved in.
Like, it was the day he met his...
Yeah, his fiancée.
Almost wife.
Yeah, like, it's just so crazy.
And I saw the, like, kind of flustered, already, like, he fell in love pretty much at first sight. He was like, yeah, man, well, that's the room. Whew. Man, I just, I met a girl today. Yeah, anyway, but that's the room. Oh.
Everyone has a Nick Utoff impression.
It's true.
That's pretty good.
It's true.
Yeah, it was so weird just because this past weekend we went on Jessica and Nick's sort of like bachelorette party float trip.
Unicorn. Thing.
Yeah, the unicorns, of course. Those, I love them. Yeah. Stupid. There, it was shocking. There was a few people in the group who had no idea what their start story was, and so really working its way backward and then watching, you know, they're like, and then Jake moved in, and I was like, Jake's on my couch tomorrow, you know, so it's just so goofy how we all do connect with each other. Did you have a cat, is that right?
Oh yeah, crazy cat.
The crazy cat. I think I saw that, I went over there at some point and I met that crazy cat.
Yeah. And it is, my cat's crazy.
Door,
yeah, it's done that to many people, and you know, if I have a company at my little apartment downtown, I always explain the rules and how my cat reacts to people. And it's funny because so many people go, oh, come on. I know cats.
Yeah. And you're like, you don't know my cat.
You don't know my cat. I'm telling you, it's like a wild animal. And you have the same way, like if you were in the jungle and saw a lion, there's certain things you don't want to do something that maybe food also would do, or like a rival.
How did you get such a joyful cat?
Well, in 2014, it's kind of a sweet but sad story. So my mom died in 2014, and a week after she died, I was out at like the family house, you know, shutting stuff down, and I heard this mewing for a couple days, actually. And I was, like, looking around in the garage, and you couldn't quite narrow down where it was coming from. And I'd kind of given up. I was like, I don't know. I took apart this huge brick pile, you know, by that side of the house. And it's not in there. Oh, well. So it's out in the world somewhere. It's not my responsibility. I was smoking a cigarette the next day, and there's this tiny little week-old kitten in a bush.
Oh, my gosh.
Not strong enough to, you know, lift itself up by its own
strength. You made a friend.
Yeah. And I just was like, okay, I got you now.
Yeah.
And have you... You definitely have that cat, you know?
Yeah.
It's a legend amongst the...
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
What's the cat's name?
It's drawing a lot of blood. Charlie.
Charlie.
She's a girl Charlie.
She's a girl Charlie. Mm-hmm. I love those sort of androgynous names that, you know, people float around with. Yes. What are some of those other ones? Like Brooke? Like, I met like a Lacey. Not a Lacey, a Leslie once. That is normally a female.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Courtney is often.
Courtney, I know.
Corey is too.
Courtney.
Just kidding.
Yep,
I
true.
Have
our
that
names.
Name.
Oh, our names ought to do that.
How fun. So, how long have you lived in Kansas City?
Total since I was 9. Mm-hmm. But I did live in Denver for about 7 years. In the kind of, I guess I moved back in 2013.
What took you to Denver?
Well, in 2003, I started doing some work with Creed Repertory Theater. I did a tour, came back, I did a couple summer seasons, and in 2008, I just didn't make it all the way back to Kansas City. I went straight, Creed, meet people. They're working in Denver. Oh, maybe I'll audition for play. And
yeah.
I went up and got an apartment and stayed and fell in love with Colorado. And
sure.
Man, I love Colorado.
Oh, it's good stuff is happening.
There is good stuff happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep your eye on Colorado.
Right.
It's going places.
It is. Up in smoke, usually. But,
yeah.
Every time I visit Colorado, it's a fucking dream, mm-hmm. You know? I wish that people are like, but it is that close. But I just wish it was, like, a little closer.
Kansas.
Yeah.
Right. There's that
switch it with Kansas.
Yeah.
But I still don't even think where I would live in Kansas makes it any closer. I do live in Kansas, you know, but it's just that,
just
the joke.
Yeah.
That I just kind of wish that I-70, that should have a speed loop on it.
Sure.
From here to Denver.
Oh,
the Hyperloop. Who gives a shit about St. Louis? Let's just get to Denver.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I think the hope is that would extend. Is that it would go 70 the whole way, that Hyperloop, if it happens. I really hope it does. Because I could have I could have dinner in St. Louis. I'd be like, I'm craving this thing. I'm going to get on the Hyperloop and just go eat dinner and be back in 20 minutes. That would be awesome.
Do you like St. Louis?
You know, I haven't spent any time in St. Louis. And it's interesting, I think about this a lot, because in Colorado, people will drive from Denver to Creed, which is 5 hours, for the day.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a traveling state. We're in Kansas City, trying to convince someone to come meet you at a bar downtown, and they live in Waldo.
Right.
It's like,
that,
what?
That person is Courtney.
I'm going to pack a bag.
Yeah. And a lunch. A bag and a lunch. Right? Where are we staying tonight?
Yeah, so there's cool stuff in Missouri. You know, Osceola and Springfield. There's cool stuff. It's 3 hours. Three hours is nothing in Colorado. Here is like, no, I'll never go to St. Louis.
Do you think that it's the in-between? Like, do you think it's that we don't give a shit about that boring stuff in between?
Well,
I'm
perhaps
very
it's more beautiful.
Today. Sorry, Mom and Dad, who are listening to this.
Yeah.
More beautiful to drive in cars?
Yeah.
Is that why?
It's more beautiful on the way. And also just like, I don't know, it's just the culture. Like, in Missouri, people are like, I need to have my store, and I gotta be near my things. And
so maybe just Colorado in general is more like, adventure-friendly?
Absolutely, yes.
I love adventures.
Never thought about that, but that is accurate.
That's probably true.
I've gone to St. Louis in a day. I actually hate St. Louis. Sorry for anyone who's listening in St. Louis. Alex is from St. Louis, so we have to go there.
Sorry, Nelly.
right, sorry, Nelly.
I had a great conversation with Nelly outside of a tour bus on a Quick Trip once.
Yeah?
That is such a Missouri sentence.
Yeah, isn't that? Tech 9 was there, too. If it makes anyone... Like, that's a Kansas City thing. But yeah, they were totally on a tour bus at what was now the old Quick Trip in Westport.
Yeah.
Have you been into the new one yet?
No.
Which side?
It's so good. They took that teeny tiny Quick Trip on Westport Road and destroyed it and built a convenience store on one side of the road and all gas pumps on the other. Yeah. And they are, I believe, technically two different stores, but like... But you can do that. Anyway, it is very smart. And
contact our good friend, mutually good friend, Mara.
Do you know Mara Franke?
Yes.
That's actually how I know you
from years before.
I knew her very well. Who also was a resident
of the G House.
She is an original G House member. The circle gets tinier.
Yeah. I'll ask her tonight. She'll be over for dinner.
Yeah, between the Nick Utoff house and the David Keel house, which is a similar kind of actor halfway house.
Exactly. Yes.
A safe haven for wayward
actors. Just like, I need a place, okay.
Where are you living now?
Now I live in Quality Hill.
Cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Because the G-House sold, right?
G-House sold. Yeah. Which is very strange. But yes, and they're red. Have you been by there? They painted it green?
Not super recently, but I did kind of start to see, because I nanny near there, and I did start to see, like, oh, wow, like, taking stuff out of the living room.
They took all the leaded glass out.
Wow.
I'm so sad about that. Like, just took it all out. They put a garage on the parking pad, which I guess is fine, except you made it so that, you know, only two cars can park somewhere that, like, seven cars could park.
Yeah.
Which is what the house was when I lived there, too, like, was that we needed the seven cars. I don't know if somebody who has a single family home needs that. But yeah, and then I think I see her on Quality Hill because that's where my kiddo goes to school.
Are you see me walking?
I think so. Yeah. Oh, cool. I feel like or in passing because I'm sure that
because your kid goes Crossroads Academy.
Yeah. So I spend a lot of time at the Spokes.
I love Spokes.
I love me too. Yeah.
One of my least favorite questions to ask actors, but I have to ask it. So what do you do whenever you're not acting? Like what's your other sources of income or whatever?
So far, right now.
How's that for a tangent, everyone?
In Kansas City, so far, recently I've been nannying. I have some friends who have twins, like almost 2-year-old girls, and I watch them periodically.
Cool.
But I have, over the years, combination of been lucky in my career and have lowered my standard of living enough to where I often don't have to have.
Sure.
A day gig.
I appreciate when people say that though, because it's good, I think, for your soul that there's not something else sort of taking things away from what you want to do.
Yeah, it can be. It's definitely a luxury.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm going to be 40 this year and I have some kind of like future ideas. So I'm probably going to switch gears a little bit and find a straight up day job.
Oh,
do
shit.
It more like most actors in town do, where you have some kind of day job and do stuff at night.
Well, before we talk about what theatrically you're currently doing, what do you see that day job sort of being?
Well, you know, something that pays me money. I think I'm gonna try to work at like Costco or you know, if I have to, maybe I can jigsaw puzzle a couple restaurant gigs. But you know, you just get to a certain point, you're like, okay, well, if I'm trying to get ahead, I have to make more money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's just, you know, you can't, like, try to make more money in theater. You know, there's only so many theaters you can work at and only so many shows. Yeah, there's only so much money available. So I'm just trying to, like, transform that.
Well, I mean, I sort of then... We'll talk about a certain essay that maybe came out, you know, last year. What is it like being an actor in town, knowing that sort of, like, takes, you know, you gotta take jobs to make money, but then there are theaters in town that right now there seems to be a group of people that no one wants to sort of, like, work for. So how do you balance sort of that integrity in yourself, knowing that maybe you're not gonna eat this week or something?
Mm-hmm.
I know. What a weird question, but...
You know, the theaters in town, to me, that are kind of like, ooh, do I want to work there or not? That are your kind of, you know, your Mets or your MTHs, that there's maybe kind of a, without taking a side, just there's like an asterisk by them of like, there's some people have opinions. They don't pay that much.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to break your bank either way, you know. met minimum, when I did my one show there, yeah, was like 273.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is like, you can make more than that on one shift at Ragazza.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. So, and that's, you know, that makes sense. A place that's maybe a little bit sketchy to work, they're probably not going to be paying you $900.
Right. Do you think that somehow makes them easier targets to attack? Because those aren't saying like the big $900 a week. And attack is the strong word, but for verbiage wise, that's sort of what I mean.
I think actually the opposite is true.
Okay. Right?
Because they're not like big players, mm-hmm, I think actually they're a little bit off the radar, yeah, for some people. And, you know, some professional actors who might have the ability to affect change there kind of go, oh, poo-poo, because, oh, it's this place.
Yeah.
What's the big
deal? Who cares?
Yeah, cares what they're doing there?
Yeah, I think you're held more accountable the bigger you are. And yeah, I think that people can, sure, get away with being whatever when you can kind of fly under the radar.
You're just, you know, in an insanely sort of topical, like, year right now of conversations, mm-hmm, about self-integrity and the right choice of casting. And I mean, for many of our listeners, it's possible that they have no idea what we're sort of talking about in these instances, but we did have a theater that sort of miscast someone on top of the fact that that person, you know, depending on what side of the spectrum you are on, says that they said something racist or whatever. And so it was sort of double compounded this past weekend by NTH's production of In the Heights and sort of what conversations have come
crazy
out of, yeah, that, mm-hmm, that some people have said, you know, and not to like put you on the spot in a cute way, but that you sort of helped start the revolution of people standing up for themselves in this city. And so not to sort of put that on you, but definitely there are the people who were sort of included in that first Met article, mm-hmm, have sort of been chaired with champions for many of the people who don't necessarily feel like they have the voice yet to say what, mm-hmm, they can, due to the fact that, hey, maybe they are like, I need money.
I need that paycheck.
Mm-hmm. You know, $200 a week is everything to me right now. Mm-hmm. And how do we protect those people who are sort of maybe at that level and don't have the backing to take leaps, you know, per se. Anyway, but we are in strangely topical time right now of having conversations. And it was brought to us, you know, this is not an official statement, but just like what the Arts Asylum was sort of like a rental house for many people, mm-hmm, to come in, as well as a few times a year we do make our own theater. You know, we're producing our own with Jesus Christ Superstar coming, mm-hmm, up or whatever, and some really exciting things in 2020, fingers crossed. But what were to happen if let's say MTH was our rental client and came to the Arts Asylum and put In the Heights in here, what is the role of me and the Arts Asylum here? Do I get to say, hey, you cast a white person, so you can't do that show? Where's that level of, like, jurying? You know, so, mm-hmm, sort of there's this new conversation that is starting amongst what I would say, ironically, is a little MTH, because they are sort of a rental house, too. But not really, but, like, JOB, us, you know, and
Heidi,
the Heritage Center, you know, like, mm-hmm, where's sort of the next level of producer and artistic directors on double checking the integrity of a rental house? And there's, mm-hmm, sort of this really gray area there that I feel like there's a couple of us that don't know how to make a comment yet, because we don't know. I know where I stand personally, mm-hmm, as Corey Childs, yeah, but I don't know if I necessarily know yet how the Arts Asylum can maintain what it's trying to say. Mm-hmm. By saying, hey, we are a safe place, but I don't ask every person to submit me a cast list and a, you know, and I don't, right, sit in on every rehearsal of every person that comes through here. So I don't know. I'm sort of in a gray area right now, kind of searching,
yeah,
for how to approach those subjects when I obviously feel as if I have some crazy opinions about it all. I just don't want to stay silent in a time where I'm supposed to be speaking up, but I just want to make sure I feel like this maybe happened because someone didn't think before they spoke.
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to just make sure I really think. But that doesn't matter, because a white person was still cast,
right,
in a role. So there's, mm-hmm, this whole other level. What a long conversation to have while Jake is just nodding. He's just like, yeah, that is fucking true.
Yeah, that, well, I mean, I think it's important to remember, even if people are on the liberal end of the spectrum, Missouri was the last state to abolish slavery. And it's like, we're the show me state. We're like, it's trickle down. Things happen on the coasts and we catch up, you know?
Yep.
And right now I think Missouri and a lot of theaters everywhere, but I think Kansas City theaters are just kind of playing catch up of just, oh, we've kind of been thinking of stuff from this angle and we've been making these things our priorities. And now what really cool things happening, which is the kind of the foot soldier rank and file artists, not theater owners, not casting directors, the man on the street or person on the street artists are starting to drive change. Which,
well, you should have the power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is cool, I think.
Yep. And important. I mean, I think it's obviously a conversation that needed to happen, you know, has happened, like you said, on the coast for lots longer than it has here. And I think it's interesting to watch the resistance to what should have always been, you know, I mean, that's it. If you're in, you know, rural white America in your little theater department, you don't get to do Hairspray. Yep. You have to just know that that's not a show you can do because you can't just choose what
you
those
can
actors
study it, but I don't know if you get to like, put it on.
You can watch it, but you don't get to produce it if you can't find appropriate cast. For
yeah,
it,
well,
know?
And also like you totally can produce it.
Yeah,
but you if you do,
it. Right,
don't be freaked out if someone says, "Hey,
right,
what are you doing?"
Yeah,
you know. So you can. The thing is, like the Met or the MTH, anyone can cast anyone they want. In any show, they can do that. They're allowed.
Yes.
And that's part of what I see happening globally, too, is the idea that, like, the fact that I'm criticizing you is somehow infringing upon your rights or your free speech, which is a lie. Mm-hmm. It's a lie told
you can say anything you want, but that does not mean that there are not repercussions for
MTH
it.
MTH did not have to do anything, you know, in reaction to this bubbling up drama. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to do anything. They could have said, look, that's who we wanted to play this part.
Yeah.
So they chose to do something else, but like, you know, everyone has free will and there's, I'm able to go, hey, I think that's lame. And they could have gone, well, we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. The question is, you know, now the next layer of that is now that they did get rid of that actress in whatever reasons, you know, they still aren't, the spotlight is still not off of them.
Right.
And I feel like they sort of maybe thought that that would take it off of them. And in fact, people are still like, but you put her there in the first place. So
yeah, because it's very much about what she said publicly as opposed to the fact that she was cast improperly to start with. So it's almost a scapegoat of like, well, she did this thing, so now we can't.
She made it easy for them to not have to take responsibility. And some people are just as pissed at
MTH for caving, you know, and not standing by their, it's, I don't want to say I feel bad for MTH right now, but I just don't think that they get to win. Like they almost sort of right now just have to like, take it and come back for a second because any comment right now is just so
And it's unfortunate because it's a show that was gonna has some incredibly stellar casting on with the exception of, you know, I mean, like where I'm just like, I don't want to see that cast fail.
It breaks my heart. Poncho is a great friend of mine, and I know this is a bucket list show for him.
Yeah.
And I know that it's,
and he has to stand in that.
Yeah, and now he's in it, and now he's like,
and he's talking about it.
Yeah.
On top of that, he has to talk about the white man essentially infiltrating his neighborhood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what, you know, this was kind of stupid, but like, she sounded really good. Like, the thing is that the girl who was cast is not untalented.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goofy part about it, is I just kind of wish that, you know, that she would have been given an opportunity at a cabaret night or something, you know?
Yeah, well, when they do Wicked,
exactly.
When they do Cinderella or Sound of Music, then give her a call.
Yeah, give her a call.
You know?
Yeah, it's just,
but
it has definitely...
They're doing Color Purple,
maybe
leave her resume
which is
on
also
the file.
Why the reference, like, it's just, it is so complicated in everyone, right? But it seems pretty simple, though. It's not that complicated.
No, it's not. I mean,
it's
that's
not.
That's.
I think we're trying to overcomplicate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, you're just, as I said, you sort of have been chaired with the person that people sort of talk to about these things, because also you do have your talk and squawks, you know, the mm-hmm. thing that you are doing. I don't think you guys have one this July because of Fringe.
Yeah, we took it off.
Hoping that you guys pick that back up in August.
Certainly, I feel like it's needed.
Yeah, well, and there's a lot of groups right now that are sort of trying to put these Socratic seminars together, these forums together, so mm-hmm. people can have conversation. And I'm also a little interested in the necessity for everyone now to have those chats, because I'm like, those chats were not taking place beforehand.
Right.
It's like, I just kind of feel like it's a weird marketing tool also, that everyone is needing to make sure that they're like, no, we're not racist. No, we have black friends. No, you know, like, it's just, people are also having to double down on both sides of whether you believe the good shit or the bad mm-hmm. shit, but you kind of really stand that. So what do you think those talk and squawks have really brought to you as an individual, also it's like to the group of people who are there?
Well, I'll tell you the most, because originally I wanted to do that because of someday I'd like to open a theater in Kansas City, and I just kind of wanted to take the temperature of like, what are artists in town interested in doing?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of work do they feel they want more of in Kansas City? You know, so I was expecting there to be I also want to empower artists to produce their own work. So I thought it was going to be kind of a networking, like, ooh, I'd like to see more ballet interpretive Shakespeare movement pieces. And someone else says, oh, yeah, me too. And they go off and I'd help them facilitate that happening. But, like, right away, people wanted to talk about hashtag me too, hashtag not in our house Chicago, and diversity.
Yeah.
I mean, those were the meeting was supposed to be 3, went like 4 hours, and people were anxious to talk about this stuff. And so it just kind of taught me of what people aren't worried about, like what kind of plays are being produced. They're worried about fairness and equality and physical and emotional safety.
That we had bigger problems to talk about than that we wanted Shakespearean in a ballet form.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and a phrase I've heard at every talk and squawk from friends of mine is people of color are hurting in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I've heard it at every talk and squawk.
Yeah.
And it is, I mean, you see this happening. I've been acting in Kansas City for 20 years, and you see it over and over and over. A person of color gets into the theater business in KC, they kind of get some success, and then they leave.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened over and over and over, because at a certain point, the people of color I'm friends with that talk to me about this, they say, you get tired of being in Big River.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all that they're allowed to do. Yeah.
You can't take it with you. You know, you get tired of being in these plays where it's just about
Did
how...
Did you say you can't take it with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
ragtime. You can't, I mean, there's only, you know, it's true. I mean, the big theaters, I think, are finally just now starting to get to a place where they're doing true, amazing, you know, plays written by people of color. Like, Schoolgirls was so absolutely incredible,
mm-hmm.
but it's still a tokenized show, because mm-hmm. I'm doing the black show because I have to in my season, as opposed to truly casting, because why not? Why, you know, I mean, what's the reason to not have a diverse cast, other than it's just not what it looks like in your head, you mm-hmm. know? I've never been able to figure it out, but
yeah,
it's unfortunate, because I think that
and it's kind of it's been a weird sentence that I've heard, but you know, like, let's take Allison Jones, I believe, right? She was My Fair Lady, Eliza
mm-hmm.
Doolittle,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then talking sort of about that, then when that happens, there's also so much communication about like how diverse, and so it's almost like some areas can't win either. You know, if Allison mm-hmm. gets that role because she's the right one for it, everyone wonders, did they just change that so they could put a person of color, you know, in there? Like, that, I haven't been able to figure out how anyone wins right now. And I don't think it's a game. I don't think that it's that anyone has to win. I just don't know how anyone, like, can be happy. mm-hmm. right now, because some of the friends that we've talked to as well have just said, well, I'm tired of being slave number two, but I also don't necessarily, I don't feel as comfortable also being given Cinderella either, because then I feel like that was an intentional choice mm-hmm. to step outside, and then am I still the right person for the role, or is it just that I was black? You know, and so I'm just like, well, that was an interesting thing that came through our office just really quickly during that whole, you know, African Mean Girls play, just sort of talking about, like what you said, that mm-hmm. they have to be, it's almost a bigger deal that there are colorblind casting sometimes, yeah. You know, I don't know if I'm phraseologizing this correctly, but it's just, it's been a lot of conversation, mm-hmm. and I'm glad that there are groups of people who are willing to have them right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's where people should be comfortable living, in that it's just time to talk about it, yeah. you know? And really for people like us, YPPO, it's time to listen.
Yes.
You know, and time to listen and Google it. HowlRound.com has some amazing articles on diversity and inclusion and you know, it's just important to educate yourself and listen to people of color when they talk about their experience.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you have become more woke recently, or do you kind of feel like you've always been on the more open side of the spectrum?
Well, I really don't like that phrase woke, because it makes it sound like woke, like that's like these eggs are cooked. That's a completed process.
Oh, sure.
Where, you know, for example, the other day, I put on Facebook, I shot a promo for this play that I'm producing, Pan and Boone, and I needed a raccoon skin hat, and I abbreviated raccoon, mm-hmm. because to me, that is the name of that hat.
Right.
I also know that that's, without the name of that hat, that abbreviated that word, yes. word is an offensive slur when used in that way. I did not think that the name of the hat would also be triggering, but I had a friend from high school, Aaron J, messaged me and was like, hey buddy, you might want to use the full word.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
And I edited it and changed it, and right. no big deal. So right. that's, if you say you're woke, it kind of says, I know everything. Like, I'm like, how can I be that when I'm me, when I have so much privilege? And, you know, you just have to always be listening and being humble and being able to go, oh, man, I am racist.
Right. Well, and what...
There's the tagline for right. this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Jake Walker.
I am. But it means, that doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It means I'm a product of the white supremacist patriarchy that runs this country.
Right. The reference to that has been, like, I call the idea that someone, like, tells us, you know, if we're racist or whatever, blah, 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 I refer it to as the same of having, like, a piece of, like, pepper in your tooth. Like, don't you want someone to tell you hey, you got a piece of salad hanging out your damn mouth. Mm-hmm. I get it out. Thank you. That right. was, that means...
And what did that harm? That's the thing. Like,
I'm more aware that right. I need to check my teeth more. And you are also kind enough to not be like, ooh, that guy has horrible mm-hmm. dental and mm-hmm. he right. has shit in his teeth.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad that you are a true person who is receptive to those sorts of notes, with both taking on what your responsibility is and also being like, sometimes I'm just not fucking thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are we going to say?
Well, just that's, I mean, I think that that's the strange, you know, in all of these arguments of the last miserable 2.5 years that we've all had to endure. Mm. What's the harm in just changing it? Like, what it did nothing different to your Facebook status
right.
to say raccoon versus the, you know, versus the alternative.
Missing the rack part.
Right. Like, what? It changed nothing.
Well,
why can't you just say, ooh, this offended somebody. Yeah. I'm going to change it, you know, and just move on.
Some people would rather feel like they are,
woke.
Yeah, they'd rather feel like they can carry that banner and they're an ally. I want to feel like I'm a good person, and that takes priority over doing actual work and growing. You know, because it's admitting you're not perfect. It's admitting you made a mistake. It's admitting that you have these things in you to struggle against, which, you know, maybe I've just had enough therapy to where I'm comfortable right. with the ugly, messy sides of myself. So when someone makes me look at myself, I know that I can overcome whatever things I don't like about myself. Yeah. But some people, maybe they're like, oh, well, you know, especially if you're running a theater, you know, like the consequences of, oh, if I admit this, mm-hmm. well, maybe I'm going to lose a board member. Maybe I'm going to lose some donors. It's like, well, if you're walking down the wrong path.
Don't want to stop and turn around.
Yeah. Figure it out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I've had to realize how a lot recently, probably within the last year, how freely I admit when I'm wrong and how difficult that is for other people. I'm just like, well, I do that all the time. I fuck up constantly. And I just don't, you know, I mean, like, and as long as I would much rather lose a patron or a donor and gain perspective than mm-hmm. the alternative. I mean, I, you know, it's just like, why not? None of us are perfect. And it's such a strange concept.
Well, in this conversation today, I'm removing woke from my conversation. So, see, I too can be taught.
That's right. There we go.
Well, I mean, I've never had someone explain that to me, that, you know, it is a finalized word.
You're awakening.
I'm awakening.
Yeah. You're awakening.
You're waking up.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly waking up.
Yes.
Over and over. It's a process.
My awakening is not finished.
Yeah, and it will never be.
Yes.
It will never be. You know,
you've just changed the verbiage again of Corey Child.
This happens often.
Bree did it for me as well. Mm-hmm. Bree Patterson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. She's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. She came in here and she had a really fun conversation about how gay men take on the black woman sort of prose, but then don't respect any part of it. We just want to emulate the fierce part. And she's just like, right, but I'm not always fierce. And you can't have it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was like,
right.
You know, yes, you're right. And it's, I just, over the last year and 3 or 4 weeks that we've had these one-on-one chats with people, I'm completely receptive to what sits on the other side of that couch. And I hope that I get to change those things about me or defend them. You know, I've also had a lot of great conversations whenever we both get to say, hey, we do disagree. Because the world is also not about agreeing with everyone, too. I think that a lot of people try and get too close to that line, and they forget that, like, conversation is still important. Mm-hmm. I may not agree with you. I will probably applaud you more for being an asshole and sticking to it than if I can just convince you to change right here. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not about the word woke, you know, because I was pretty receptive to that. Yeah. But different sort of those conversations that I also applaud people who stand, you know, I mean, in some sort of messed up way, I'm glad that this person with NTH never backed down, because it seemed like that would have been a really shitty thing to go through all of that and then at the very end of it be like, oh God, that was too much, just kidding.
Right.
You know, like in some point, I'm glad that that they had enough opportunities to learn and that it seemed pretty solid what they believed by the end. So anyway, those are really fun conversations. Let's see where we are in our time. So we're getting now to the point where we get to ask you our Actor Studio questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
These are fun. But to our listeners tuning in, we are speaking with Jake Walker today. So also tell us about this little show you're in right now at the Coterie.
Yeah, it's called Elephant and Piggy. We are in a play, and I've done 9 shows at the Coterie, and this is the most little kiddie, you know, it's fun for everybody, but this is the youngest target that I've done at the Coterie. You know, I have a line, is Piggy still in the potty? Because if Piggy's in the potty, she does not know that I have ice cream. But yeah, it runs till August 4th. We have shows Tuesday through Sunday, 11 and 1 Tuesday through Friday, 11, 1, and 7 on Fridays, 11 a.m. on Saturdays, and 2 on Sundays.
Wow.
It's a lot of shows, and it's an incredible cast. And
is this a remount of a show that has happened before?
Yeah, we did it 2 years ago. Sean and I and Sean Ruffin plays Piggy, and Kimberly Horner was one of the original Squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
The two other Squirrels in the first production were Maggie Marks
and
Rashida Badajo.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
She's someone I'd love to have on the show.
I love Roz.
Yeah, she's in New York, huh? Yeah. But now they were not in town, so now Roan Ricker replaced one of them, and a great actress from Stevens named Katera Combs.
Cool.
And yeah, it's a fun musical, all these different genres, and you know, me and Sean Ruffin just play with each other for an hour.
I love Sean. Yeah, yes. She was on the couch about a year ago because she was in Hairspray.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. I love her. I'm glad that she's kicking ass. Is this the first time that you've redone a role in your career?
No. I did. I played Ellard twice in The Foreigner. And I did As You Like It twice. In the first one, I played like 9 roles. We did it like with 6 actors. This was in Denver for a company called Modern Muse Theater Company. But then I played one of them again at the Shakespeare Festival, Silvius. So I've done it a couple times. And it is cool to just, you're different. You're a different person when you revisit a role. So you're looking at it through different eyes and you're going to discover different things. So yeah, it's really neat.
I always sort of love those questions. When you sort of get to even like steps even higher than what we are, you know, like where you just get a call to be like, hey, we need a Marion the Librarian this week in Cincinnati. We know you played the role. I just need you to get your ass here. We open in 4 days. Something happened. And then I always just love having conversations with those people on how quickly they have to adapt and just how much of it is just muscle memory. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have a shortened parameter. So to actually go through a rehearsal process and everything with a show that you've done before is probably really fun to rediscover those roles. But I do know that we've all been asked a few times to be like, can you just roll in and do that? You know that, right? Can you just come in? And I can't. I've been witness to that, and it's kind of crazy to do that. So if you weren't doing theater, what would you be doing?
Probably something nerdy. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe teaching, maybe... before I wanted to be an actor when I was very little, I mean, not like 12 or 13, I thought I was going to be an illustrator. I wanted to draw for comics. Uh-huh. And so I'd, you know, look at little X-Men comics and I kind of copy their muscles and explosions and how they draw like the power energy from someone's hand blaster. That was the first thing that I was super interested in.
Are you still interested in that?
Well, I'm still a huge comic book nerd. But, illustrating now. No. I doodle every now and then, but it's not something that I'm addicted to theater.
It is the craziest drug I've ever been on.
Yeah.
It's what I say. Yeah. It's because you just want more of it.
Well, and it's, you know, to me, it's because you're constantly dipping into the well of humanity, and to always be kind of swimming around in what makes humans stand out among the beasts on the planet. That's an intoxicating process. What makes a person and not a bug.
I think it's the thumbs, right?
That's part of it. Thumbs.
We were talking about, you know, whatever, dorky tangent about, and our listeners can't see this, but like, how strong your fucking thumb is now from like taking selfies. Like, action is not.
That's not a thing.
Yeah. That's how you like open, like, all of my action comes from the thumb, and how we were like, that literally is what separates us, and it is probably the strongest muscle in my body right now.
That's funny.
Well, right, because I've had to figure out how to hold the device in my hand.
Yeah, you don't think about all the things that we have to do with our thumbs.
And how dumb it is, you know, how there maybe are people of a certain age that hold the phone differently, and it's a one finger.
Were we prepped for that via, like, video games?
I think that because we had controllers on our hands.
Because it just occurred to me right this moment, this is so strange. So
this is what Couch Chats is about.
So I was a button masher, because my brother was, like, super skilled at like, all the things and knew all the codes and the, like, how to break everything when we would play the Mortal Kombat as children. And because I was a button masher, I actually found that my, like, joystick thumb was very good. but I needed to, like, use, like, I had to have, and no one can see the crazy figure. But I have found that I text like that now. I hold my phone and then use, like, and so I don't know if maybe that is some sort of, like, strange childhood regression. That's my style. Yeah. Two fingers and a thumb.
Well, I used to be able to T9 really quickly.
Oh, that?
Yeah. Like, texting without looking.
2-2-2-2-2. Yeah. 3-3-3-3-3-3-3.
0-0-0-1-1-1. Yeah. I could probably still type out a text message if I really thought about it.
It would take me so long, but I think I could do it too.
Well, and I remember being mad when people would text me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why aren't you calling me? And, like, texts cost.
Right, they
extra
cost.
Money.
Yeah, you got,
so
like,
people would send
money.
Me a text. I'm like, what the heck? And now it's flipped. When people call me,
right.
I'm like, well, we're not friends anymore.
Right. Yeah.
I try to do as much digitally just for a paper trail.
Uh-huh.
And not even like, oh my God, I'm going to get you. I have my receipts. But I do believe that we are all so, like, quick now that it's almost like you'll be like, hey, I'll see you at dinner at 6:45. And I will still probably text you at some point and say, dinner's still at 6:45?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
You know, because we are so used to also having that paper trail.
Yeah.
That
well, because I don't remember anything anymore. If you've called me, like, I'm in shock that the phone is ringing, that I have no idea what we've just talked about.
I don't have my phone off of silent.
Fantastic. Can you text me all of
that?
My phone is so, because of how many situations, meetings, rehearsals, shows, that you might accidentally find yourself in, I can never have my phone on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because
if
that fucker rings, I'm embarrassed.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you
gotta
can't
bring
be
donuts the next day.
I know. Well, I can't be sitting in the middle of Les Mis and all of a sudden it's fucking Glee's, you know, Don't Stop Believing it comes through and you're just like, sorry.
Yeah.
Go back to Stars.
I've only had that happen to me once. A phone ring. And, like, in something. I'm sitting with Alex. It was between Alex and Kara Armstrong, and it was years ago. So, like, when we first had phones, it was probably still my Nokia brick. And we were in a final preview for Suburbia we were at UMKC. Must have been.
I saw that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like an undergrad show, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Kara was directing, and Alex did all the TV stuff, and my phone rang. And I was just more, and it was like deep inside my purse. I couldn't get it, so it just kept ringing. Yeah, and it's like, oh my God, I'm so worried. I was like, Kara, I'm so sorry. Nobody ever calls me unless somebody's dead. And like, I just like flippantly made that thing, and then I went out in the lobby, and I was like, Mom, my grandmother's dead. It's like, that is what that phone call was. Ironically, if it makes you feel better, somebody actually did die. Ooh,
yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. Makes you rest in peace. Right. Glad your phone was on.
Yeah.
What is your idea of real magic?
Real magic. Maybe if I say it, the answer will come to
magic that makes you feel real.
I guess something that is surprising, something that... when real magic happens, because, like, you know, obviously that's a phrase, like, because magic isn't real. But, I mean, like, you can say what is real magic, but something that makes a cynical adult lean forward and become curious about something. You know, something that someone didn't expect, something that something
did you watch wasn't... both Courtney and I's faces be like,
oh, you went,
Well, because we have heard 57 answers
right?
to this question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it is so fun. Yeah, keep going. That's a really, that makes a cynic sit forward, is that what you said? And
yeah,
become
curious.
And become curious.
Yeah.
That's fucking good. I'm going to hold on to that one. Miss Perry?
Okay. You are a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why?
Burnt sienna.
Which is what every stage floor is painted as.
And really just because that's always been like my favorite name of a color. Mm-hmm. Burnt sienna.
Mm-hmm. It's your go-to color.
Yeah, it reminds me of college. I mean, I remember my scenic painter in college always being like, go grab the burnt sienna. We're doing wood grain today. And I'm just like, okay, get out your big paintbrush and do that. What is something that you were told you could never do or do well that you are currently in the process of accomplishing or have accomplished?
Saving money.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm getting better at saving money.
Fantastic.
Did you ever feel like you were just going to be a total failure and you were never going to save any money?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I was in my 20s, I was kind of like, I didn't really expect too much to live past my 20s. Mm-hmm. I lived kind of hard. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so saving, it was not a thing. I mean, it was, spend as fast as I can and enjoy.
You can't take it with you.
Exactly.
I know. God, I love that play.
Call back.
I played Ed Carmichael in that show, everyone. And I had a good time playing the xylophone, everyone. So let me just tell you.
Yes.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, okay. So what problem or situation did TV or movies make you think would be a much bigger deal in real life? Yeah.
Problems that could have been solved with one conversation. Mm. You know, the misunderstandings. You know what I'm saying? Like in mm-hmm. movies, or like a lot of those Ben Stiller movies where sure. it's like, just say, look, I was in the bathroom. I accidentally knocked this over,
right.
which sent the cat out the window. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't do this on purpose.
Right.
And the just toilet have didn't a
conversation.
Work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the toilet didn't work. Mm-hmm. Or that happened in Dumb and Dumber.
That's what I mean.
Sorry, I was using the toilet and it's not flushing.
And it's bad.
I expected right. it we've to. It's really deal. Bad, yeah. but we have to deal with it.
We have to deal right. with this right now.
Mm-hmm. I thought there would be more moments like that in life, but it's like, no. People just kind of say, hey, it's broken.
Right.
Shitter's broken. Shitter yeah. out back's broken. What flavor of ice cream would you be?
Well, my favorite is cookies and cream. Because why limit yourself yeah, to one dessert? Yeah, yesterday
was National Ice Cream Day. Did you anybody partake in the ice cream?
I did not.
Oh, I did, actually.
There you go.
I don't think I had any ice cream yesterday.
Yeah, National Ice Cream. I had a big ice cream sundae.
Really?
In a waffle bowl.
Living it up here in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, man.
Well, hold on, I forgot.
Well, then I'll ask. If you could rule the world for a day, state something you'd ban.
I think maybe I would ban sarcasm.
Do you use sarcasm in life?
I don't know, do I? I think we all naturally do, but I think what I see in this, the context I mean is like, you know, it's inauthentic. If you're trying to have a conversation, going back to the MTH stuff, I see people kind of being sarcastic with each other, mm-hmm. not answering a question earnestly, but kind of being snarky about it. And it prevents some real conversations from happening.
That's fascinating.
So it's banned.
All right.
No sarcasm.
So fucked.
Yeah.
Most
are
of my
you,
communication.
Are you
I
fucked?
Am. Yeah. Oh, goodness. All right. You are invisible for 24 hours. What do you do with your time? And, you can just be wherever you want to, you know, wherever your thing takes place.
I'd probably be really boring, and I would just go see movies.
Yeah, okay.
Is that not something you get to do now? Do you feel like you don't get to see movies?
Yeah, only big box Marvel movies. Because, you know, when I see a movie, I can't just go in and catch a movie. I have to have large popcorn, large drink, mm-hmm. some candy, you know, so it's an expensive trip.
It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't go to movies. I used to go all the time.
That doesn't align with his trying to save money.
Yeah, not anymore. Right, not anymore. In the 20s, in my 20s, I would go...
Two jumbo popcorns, yeah,
exactly.
Please.
And, yeah. like, a burger and stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the movie theaters did try to bring you there for the entire experience,
true.
You know, but I always kind of felt like I didn't want that much food in my lap in a movie theater.
I'm not a huge fan of the Alamo Drafthouse. I don't want to. If I'm seeing, you know, Avengers Endgame, I don't really want to smell your chicken Alfredo right next to me.
But I've got a bigger problem than that. I went and fucking saw Hamilton, and there was someone sitting right next to us at Music Hall eating nachos.
Ew.
No, what?
Tray of nachos, dip thing. You had the crunchy chip literally in the middle of Hamilton. So, like, that has infiltrated in a very. And I went and asked why they sold those, and they go, because this particular window, so you forget that there are so many like dance competitions and stuff that take place here as well, so they had to outsource parts of that area to feed these families that are sometimes here all day long, and I'm like, but Someone was eating nachos during Hamilton.
Right. Like, yeah. Crunching
we're not at here. Home. I actually go to the theater to not be,
to
at,
not
home.
Be at home.
Yeah.
If I want to be at home eating nachos, first of all, they're not going to be those shitty ass nachos.
They're much better.
They're going to be much better.
Can have real cheese.
Yeah. I mean, whatever, right? Ugh, it's so funny. What was the one that... Oh, yeah. So what is your best praise or advice you've ever received? That's something I really did want to ask you.
Best advice. You know, my friend Nathan Darrow.
Nathan, love him.
Yeah, I did a thing in Baltimore, and I took a train up and met him in New York. And, you know, we were talking about just kind of... can't remember what celebrity just kind of got dinged for... harassment or something.
Because he was sort of in the beginning and a part of that with like Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, you know, you might have been talking about that, but too. But and Nathan said this thing that I've passed on a lot. He said, no matter what your job is, whether you're the president, whether you're an actor in a play, whether you run a theater or you work at a police station, everyone really has the same job, which is to be kind. And if you're not being kind, you're not doing your job, period.
I love that.
That's
mine is one of my favorites. Actually, very similar. And it's from the movie Cinderella. Have courage and be kind.
Like, yeah,
just I mean, it's one of my literally best quotes. That I'm just like, yes, fortune does favor the brave, but don't like stomp on people to necessarily get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that was our hour. Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of crazy? Yeah. It moves quickly. It has fun tangents. Sort of our last two general questions that we ask everyone. Is there anything that you would like to say that you didn't get a chance to say, or words of advice to the people who are listening?
Just be kind, even if someone disagrees, you know, because I don't really think there are... I think there are very few villains in the world. Most people... just are trying to get through life and take care of the people that they care about. And a lot of times, maybe they have ideas or thoughts that are contrary to what you think, and that may hurt your feelings. And please call them out on those things. But, you know, it's kind of like on The Walking Dead. I don't know if you guys watched The Walking Dead.
Most of it, until I couldn't anymore.
But there's an idea that they talk about on that show about there has to be something for after. So if you're fighting all these other, you know, groups in post-apocalyptic zombie times, but you're not fighting zombies, you're just fighting these, you know, opposing human groups.
Yeah. That the problem wasn't noise necessarily.
We have to figure out how to live with each other, you know? Yeah. So it's like, okay... We can stand up for ourselves, but there has to be some way that we end up a society together.
Yeah. We all have to do this together.
Yeah.
Because of your comment, it's actually another question that I've asked a few times. What do you think the difference is between a villain and a hero?
Well, a villain only cares about themselves.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I've always sort of done that. You know, like, I think it's a Wicked song or something that's just like, what's the difference between a traitor and a, you know, a dictator and all of those things? Like, what is that defining line between? Because I've always said even villains have dreams, you know, in their world, they're 100% justified. Yeah. So we also sort of have to remember that sometimes too, you know, cliche to like see the other side sometimes, because they sometimes think that they're doing everything right as well. And just because we say it's wrong, often they are vilified. Sure. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, tangent. And then who would you like to hear from on the couch? Who should we have on to talk with that might make you tune in and listen to get to know?
Oh, what's his... Harvey Williams?
Harvey Williams. Tell us.
That's his name, right?
I don't know.
He runs Melting Pot.
Mm. Oh.
Can't see Melting Pot. Is that his name?
Yes.
Harvey.
Yes.
I know it's Harvey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
I also know an actor named Harvey Blanks, but Harvey Williams. Yeah.
That was embarrassing. Yes. Harvey Williams. Yes.
Yes.
The Melting Pot. They usually come out of JOB.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Just Off Broadway Theater is such an interesting space, like business model.
Yeah.
As well, because they do sort of have their own resonant theater company in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I mean, it's so dorky, and it's really kind of fun to spend an hour talking to someone.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Because phones don't go off. You know, there's no one knocking on a door. Like, there's really not very many times in life where you actually just get time with someone.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At least not with us. So next week, who is our guest?
Next week, I believe, is Matt Richardson.
Matt Richardson. Mm-hmm. He will be on to talk a little bit about Jesus Christ Superstar and sort of Culture House and his transition from being a high school music teacher to trying to work sort of in the professional world.
Yeah.
Cool. So we'll learn about him. Thanks for being on the show, Jake.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll see you all next week.
Yeah,
all right.
Bye-bye. And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Couch Chats is available locally on KOJH 104.7 and also on iTunes. Remember, that's Couch with a K. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Couch Chats, not the Arts Asylum, KOJH, or Mutual Musicians Foundation. Thanks again for listening, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, as well as follow us on Instagram. Tune in next week to see who we have on the couch.